AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on SportsGrid. 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 Central. We're coming off the AFC and NFC championship game. The line is set. Right now, the Rams are 3.5 or 4 over on FanDuel, and certainly they are favored over the Cincinnati Bengals. The game is next Sunday. Sports Grid will be headed to the Super Bowl in Los Angeles. Make sure you catch our coverage of that. Let's get to our headlines here on the show as we begin. Last day in January 2022, Grizzlies 76ers headlines tonight's 8-game slate. West Virginia at Baylor in college basketball tonight. Of course, we're following the coaching saga in the NFL. The Raiders expected to hire Dave Ziegler as their GM, Josh McDaniels as the head coach. And Rafael Nadal breaks the Grand Slam record with a win at the Australian Open. So looks like McDaniels is headed to Las Vegas. And Brian Daboll had his press conference today. Davis, you and I have not had a chance to talk about this yet as Daboll leaves Buffalo and goes to the New York Giants, and a lot of the comments were overwhelmingly positive about the quarterback, Daniel Jones. You know, sometimes a coach gets hired, and he can be indifferent, he can say nothing, but it feels like, at the very least, unless it's a complete lie, that Daniel Jones is brought back to New York, and Daboll is choosing to work with him, and Daboll could have taken the Miami job, too.
I mean, I think you see what Daboll sees in Daniel Jones, right? I mean, Daniel Jones's performance the first couple of years of his career, not really that dissimilar from what Josh Allen was doing as a rookie. Like, go back and look at, people don't remember this. Josh Allen was bad. I mean, he was Zach Wilson, Jamarcus Russell, Brian Leaf level bad. He had 10 touchdowns and 12 interceptions in 14 games as a rookie. He was really bad, but he had the tools. Of course, Daniel Jones is, you know, he doesn't have the same physical skill set that Josh Allen does, but he can move a little bit, you know, which is a big part of the Brian Daboll offense. And they have talented wide receivers too. Kenny Golladay, Kadarius Toney, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton. I mean, those guys are all pretty talented. I can see what Daboll sees and why he wanted to take that job. My concern would just be they're just kind of a stink. There's just that Gettleman stink, that Joe Judge stink over this roster. And I don't know if you can flip that over in just a year or two.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a couple of years for sure there. We're still seeing coaching discussion going on. And then the other name that has popped up today, Davis, and has popped up in the last like 48 hours is Jim Harbaugh. And Harbaugh, yeah, who I think we thought was definitely going back to Michigan, the owner of the Miami Dolphins said that he's not going to be the one to take Harbaugh away from Michigan because the owner, Stephen Ross, is a Michigan guy himself. And now all of a sudden we're hearing that the Vikings, according to several reports, have some interest in bringing him in. And then you have to wonder if Miami, Davis, is going to swoop in to try and get Harbaugh. Remember, they tried to get Harbaugh many years ago. The owner flew on a plane while they still had Sperano as the head coach to try and lure him away. It didn't work at the time. This is like Harbaugh's coming off his best season in Michigan, so no one really knows for sure if Harbaugh is just simply trying to, I don't know, become the highest paid coach in college football, or if he genuinely wants to go back to the NFL. Still unknown.
Yeah, and I feel like, I guess he's got a very good deal there in Michigan where they don't really expect him to make the college football playoff every single year. They're very happy. And of course, welcome to everyone listening to Sports Grid on radio, Davis Maddock and Craig Mish here with you on this Monday afternoon. And Harbaugh was a very good NFL coach, 44-19, won the NFC. You know, I mean, he was a good coach, and he's a very good college coach. I don't know. I mean, I would like to see him back in the NFL personally, though I do wonder if it is one of those situations where, you know, the last time he coached in the NFL was 2014, so almost a decade out of the NFL. I do wonder if it's one of those things where he comes back, game done, change. You know, it's a really different environment in the NFL now. You got to throw the ball. You got to be very aggressive on fourth downs. Like, that is a key part. And I wonder if these teams that are hiring coaches are thinking about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, he did, if I'm not mistaken, Harbaugh unleash Kaepernick with his team, and that sort of changed the NFL in a way too. So, you know, we'll see. I can't really say what the future holds for Harbaugh, but I do know this. He's going to be the highest paid coach either in college football or pro football based on the decision. Like, availability is sort of more important than success. So I think there's a chance of that happening, but we'll see. Vikings still have a shot. Dolphins still have a shot. Crazy to think that, remember, Davis, how many weeks ago was it that Brian Flores got let go by the Dolphins and we assumed that he was getting the first gig? He still does not have a job.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's no one really knows for sure how these people are interviewing or what's happening. So we'll keep you updated. Tomorrow's show, we'll hear from Brian Daboll. We'll hear from the new head coach of the Chicago Bears, too. He spoke today. So we'll have plenty more on that coming up on tomorrow's program. But coming up next, where were you in 1989 during the Super Bowl? I would guess probably not watching this. None of this existed, like having shows online, having apps, like those didn't exist. We will take you back to the year 1989, which was the last time that the Cincinnati Bengals were in the Super Bowl. It has been a long time. We'll have that for you coming up next. We'll also hear from T. Higgins. We'll hear from Joe Burrow on the Bengals winning the AFC Championship. And no doubt we got you covered here on Sports Grid every day, myself and Davis, 12 to 2 Eastern, right here on Fantasy Sports Today. So stay on the grid. We're coming back with the year 1989 and the Bengals winning the AFC. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Sports Grid, by the way, did not exist in 1989. Fantasy Sports Network did not exist in 1989. Davis Maddock, you did not exist in 1989. Is that correct?
Nope. I was born in 1992, which feels like a long time ago, but apparently not long enough to remember the last time that the Cincinnati Bengals made a Super Bowl. It's sort of funny, you know, there was all this talk on social media about, you know, this nostalgia that people had for a Bengals 49ers Super Bowl. And I was like, well, not for me. I do not remember any of that.
Yeah, no, I definitely remember that game very well. You know, I personally was sort of rooting for that. Of course, that's what, you know, I was hoping for. But in the end, I still think we'll get a really good matchup. But I thought it would be fun to go back and look in, you know, back in time, last time that the Bengals were in the Super Bowl in 89. Here are some of the things that was going on that year within a few months of each other, not exactly in January. But Game Boy was released in 1989. Remember the little game made by Nintendo? You can still, you know, pick one up. They're still around. The games were pretty simple to play and fun. I had a ton of them. Bobby Brown left New Edition and had his debut album. And My Prerogative was a number one song from that album. Coming to America was number one in the country. Of course, they just released Coming to America 2 over the past year. Of course, everyone remembers The Cosby Show on NBC. Cheers was also on NBC. Thursday night, NBC was huge. Of course, some different things happened to, of course, Bill Cosby since then. His life has changed significantly in how we view him, no question. And so, you know, Davis, a lot of things changed from 1989. But, you know, when we go back and look at that list again, how many of those were you aware of that happened in your younger days, 1989? Also, George Bush, first George Bush, was named president in 1989 as well.
So I have played the OG Game Boy. I know nothing about Bobby Brown. He was married or dating Whitney Houston, is that right? Did I get that one? There we go. So that's how I know him. I only know Coming to America via meme. I've never seen it, but you know, I get the, I know it's Eddie Murphy, but I literally only know it from memes and social media and stuff. Have watched the Cosby Show. Also watched a bunch of episodes of Cheers, cause it was just one of those syndicated shows that was just sort of always on. And I really enjoyed Cheers. A very different time to be alive, 1989, no doubt about it.
Yeah, Joe Montana. I mean, the reason why there's so many 49ers traveling all across the country was because the 49ers had a dynasty. I mean, they were winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl and winning a ton. Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, then Steve Young, Bill Walsh, George Seifert. They had a ton of success. And year after year, it was just expected, Davis, that the 49ers were going to be in the Super Bowl. And by the way, the Bengals gave the 49ers a pretty big battle, better than they had in the future in some Super Bowls. The 49ers, of course, crushed basically everybody that was in their way right before Dallas ended up winning all those Super Bowls as well. But no doubt it was a celebration for those Bengals, like it was 1989. And T. Higgins, the wide receiver on the Bengals, described their post-game celebration after the win yesterday.
All smiles and laughter, man. Everybody's just proud of one another. And, you know, the job's not done. We all know that. But we're going to celebrate this one and get back to work tomorrow.
I mean, would y'all have cigars, champagne?
It was cigars, smoke all in the air, you know, champagne. So, I mean, it's normal celebration. I'm ready to go back and celebrate some more.
Probably up until this morning is a guess for the Cincinnati Bengals and for the city of Cincinnati. Not a lot to cheer for in terms of professional sports. If you would have asked me Bengals or Reds back to a championship, I probably would have taken the Reds any day of the week. And here we are with the Bengals. Now pressure, by the way, on the Reds to get something done too. So the other big story that clearly has come out of this, and Davis, my timeline is filled with a lot of very upset Dolphins fans. The Dolphins beat Cincinnati, which squandered their chance at getting the number one overall pick in the draft, which, of course, led to Joe Burrow being the number one overall pick in the draft. But Burrow is really a hot topic of discussion today. Not so much him, but just of the idea that in order to turn your franchise around, you got to have the number one pick. Not two, not three, not seven. You got to have number one. Of course, you can get lucky. You can end up with a Brady, or you can end up with another quarterback that ends up being really good. But having the number one pick, where is the data that supports it? So let's take a look. Here are the number one overall pick quarterbacks since 2009. And ironically, Matt Stafford is here at the top from the Detroit Lions, who, by the way, he did not turn around in Detroit. He had to go to L.A. to get to a Super Bowl. Cam Newton took his team to a Super Bowl without a doubt in 2011. And I think we probably would agree if Andrew Luck stuck around, he probably would have been in a Super Bowl. Jameis Winston did not have that same kind of success, not close, with Tampa Bay. And of course, Jared Goff, yes, did get to a Super Bowl with the Rams before the Rams punted him in favor of Matthew Stafford. That takes us all the way up until 2016. Now, the last four are really interesting because Baker Mayfield is sort of a number one pick that could be at the end of the line in Cleveland going into this year. Kyler Murray, without a doubt, very mixed results for him with the Cardinals. Joe Burrow, here he is in year two in the Super Bowl. And Trevor Lawrence is not going to a Super Bowl next year. I think we can say that for sure. But, of course, after the game, Burrow did his press conference talking about a number of different things, but more along the lines of here he is just 2 years into a college season winning a championship and 2 years into a pro season and back into a championship.
Yeah, I think if you would have told me coming into the league, you know, when I got drafted that we'd be here this year, you know, I would, obviously it would be a shock. But, you know, like I said earlier, now it's not. I'm not surprised, you know, playing this whole year. I knew that we would have a chance to be here. But you know, today was a great win for the organization, for ownership in the city, and me personally as well. So, you know, it's a very exciting moment.
Thank you.
City of Cincinnati is going to be partying, no question. I have been to Cincinnati. I don't know, Davis, if you have. I went to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in Cincinnati in 2015. Cincinnati borders Kentucky. And And it has a really old school feel to it, like older houses, older area. Feels like you're kind of going back in time, I guess, to a degree. Not quite like the most upscale as far as what I saw all around Cincinnati. But Davis, more along the lines of this, it doesn't matter what city you live in. You get the number one overall pick in the draft, you got to hit it. And the Bengals did.
Yeah, I mean, missing on the number one overall pick or the number two overall pick or whatever, it'll send your franchise back. Just ask the New York Giants. They take Saquon Barkley with the number two overall pick. He spends more games inactive or injured for them than wins since they took him. Ask the New York Jets. They keep taking all these quarterbacks. These quarterbacks don't work out. You know, Darnold, he's no Joe Burrow. Zach Wilson, I don't think he's exactly Joe Burrow, and they're sitting here. They're in the Super Bowl. Though it is interesting, people don't think about this, but Joe Burrow is already 25. I think he's like 250 days younger than Patrick Mahomes because of the journey that he took in college with transferring and sitting out and everything. So, you know, it feels like just the beginning, and it is to some extent. You know, so I hope all of our Bengals friends and fans and listeners out there, I hope you cherish every moment, because you never know. You just never know when it's going to happen again.
No, and I think I saw somewhere that the Bengals had the same odds to win the Super Bowl as the Jaguars going into the season. So, yeah, the NFL season is the gift that keeps on giving here later on in the year. All right, well, we've touched on a lot of football here on the show, I think an hour and a half's worth. So it's time for us to pivot over to some NBA. Coming up next, we're going to help you set a lineup tonight, playing a little daily fantasy and a quick recap of what happened last night in the NBA in case you missed it too. So stay on the grid. More Fantasy Sports Today is coming up next.
Break. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish and Davis Maddock with you here on the show. NBA, of course, we're going to preview that coming up. We're going to set a lineup for you on DraftKings. Before we do that, quick recap of the NBA yesterday. I know that a lot of people focus on all of the good teams, but one of maybe the surprises of yesterday were the Detroit Pistons taking care of the Cleveland Cavaliers yesterday. Cleveland, of course, has had a really nice season. One of the reasons why was a triple-double for Pistons future superstar, without question, Cade Cunningham, who outshined Evan Mobley in that game yesterday. After the game, Cunningham talked about getting that triple-double and also sort of his emergence in the second halves of a lot of games this year.
I think it's just, you know, taking each possession as its own little game and, you know, trying to make the best read that play. But after that play is over with, you know, you got to throw it away and move on. So, you know, I never really just feel out of sync or like my shot is just fully off. I just feel like the last shot was off. So, you know, I keep shooting. I mean, I've worked really hard to become a pretty good shooter. So, you know, my team, trust me, whenever I can get a good look, I mean, I'm going to take it. And I mean, the whole night we were playing through the team. Sadiq made a lot of good plays for us. Isaiah, I mean, everybody was contributing. So, Frank, I mean, whenever everybody's going like that, it's a lot easier for the floor to open up for me and make play.
Davis, this is sort of what we were waiting for with Cade Cunningham, and very similar to every rookie in the NBA, every first overall pick in the NBA. You know, some of them are LeBron James, but there's very few LeBron James. The rest take half a season to sort of get going. And Cunningham is now sort of emerging here. And look, the Pistons are going to end up being one of the worst teams in the NBA this season, without a doubt. But they'll have a lottery pick, probably number one or number two overall pick. And you could start putting Cunningham in lineups. You're probably already putting Cunningham in lineups in DFS.
Yeah, you know what? He started out the season. I mean, look, let's just be honest. He was really struggling. He was having a very hard time shooting to begin. He really has figured it out. There was a time not that long ago when we were doing these and Cade was shooting under 20% from three. He's up to 33% from three, 16 points a game, five rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, like, I think that Cade definitely looks like a guy worthy of the number one overall selection. And of course, it's going to take a while for them to build something around him in Detroit. But there are plenty of times you get a number one overall pick and you have no idea if that's a guy worth building around at the end of year one. And I think Detroit has their guy. And I mean, look, you know, so that means we're about 12 months away from the storylines of Cade wants out of Detroit. He wants to go play with the Lakers, and the Lakers are putting together a trade package for Cade Cunningham. So, you know, that's coming.
Hopefully not. So tired of hearing about that. You're right, though. Like, you know, Zion Williamson, 1 year in, it's like every guy 1 year in, all of a sudden they want out of these. I mean, Detroit's not even a small market. Detroit's a very big market, a team that's won championships, two different decades of championships. Hopefully it works out for Cunningham there. All right, so let's build a lineup tonight on DraftKings. We've got an 8-game slate. Of course, a lineup lock is always the crucial part about this, finding out who is in and who is out. So let's get going here, Davis. Tell us who we're going with tonight and set us up for tonight's slate.
Well, of course, I need to issue the reminder to everyone that this lineup was made in the wee hours. So this was before the announcement that Joel Embiid is going to be sitting out tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers due to rest. That is going to mean that Andre Drummond, who is priced at $3,700, is the best play of the slate. That'll be true on DraftKings. That'll be true on FanDuel. You are pretty much locked in to a double-double from our friend Mr. Drummond and some of the other 76ers, you know, Tobias Harris, Seth Curry, Tyrese Maxey. These guys are going to be far better values, but we can still work through the rest of the options here. So the guys I had laid out in the backcourt, we have Trey Mann, who is priced way down for the Clippers. Right now, the Clippers have both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George out, but also Nicholas Batum is questionable. He's been a big part of their rotation. And Mann is interesting because he backs up both the guard positions and the wing spots. So if he is playing well, he can see, you know, 30 minutes pretty easily. But don't think he will be needed now because we can just play Andre Drummond for that cheap price instead. However, our guy Desmond Bane on the other side of that game, a guy who has got a legitimate case to make the All-Star team this year, I think. 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block per game, about 30.5 fantasy points per game, sitting there at 6,100. I like this spot against the 76ers. Evan Fournier has taken advantage of this Knicks rotation with all of their guards being banged up. Derrick Rose has not played. Kemba Walker has not played well. So Fournier has just been shooting the lights out of the ball. Their most recent game against Milwaukee, he shot 12 three-pointers, made 5 of them, had actually one of his best fantasy games of the season, 44 fantasy points, has really just been phenomenal this season as a shooter. Although maybe phenomenal is overstating it, he's been fairly streaky. John Collins, his name is on the trading block. I think we might see him move from the Atlanta Hawks roster before the trade deadline, which I believe is February 15th this year. What's interesting, though, is his minutes have kind of been cut short due to blowouts the last couple games. There was a blowout against the Lakers, blowout against the Celtics, blowout against the Kings, but he's been great in all of those games, so I think he's a little bit underpriced. And then Christian Wood against Golden State. I love playing centers against Golden State when Draymond is out because basically they don't have anyone who can defend centers. But again, Drummond is the best center play of the slate now.
All right, so we'll pivot over there. By the way, the total in that Golden State-Houston is the biggest one on the board tonight at 229 in that matchup tonight. So Wood in line potentially for a big game there. All right, so let's close it out with some final options here in the flex spots.
All right, so the flex spots, and this is why, by the way, you know, when Brett does the show, he uses FanDuel. I just prefer the game slightly on DraftKings because of these flex positions. It just kind of lets you get some more guys in. So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not playing tonight for Oklahoma City against Portland. That is going to mean that Josh Giddey is going to slide from small forward up to point guard. Most recent game for Giddey, he played 40 minutes against the Pacers. He took 15 shots, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 38 DraftKings points. He was phenomenal in that game. Giddey is having, I mean, just a really, really good rookie year. Brett was definitely right, and I was wrong when Giddey got drafted by the Thunder. He has been phenomenal. I mentioned a little bit earlier about how thin the Clippers are if our guy, Nicholas Batum, does not play. Marcus Morris, just pretty much your classic 32 fantasy points when he starts, that you know what you're getting. And then the guy the other day, you were asking Brett and I who this guy was, Goga Batadze for the Indiana Pacers. He is he got hurt the other night, but basically when he starts at center, you're just locking in a double-double for him. You know, 12 points, 10 rebounds, just go ahead and get it in. They're playing against the Clippers tonight. And, the Clippers play a traditional center pretty much all 48 minutes, you know, whether it be Ibaka or Zubats, especially when they are thin in the front court. So that is our look at DraftKings today. But definitely a reminder that all of the 76ers guys with Embiid out are way better plays.
All right, so keep an eye on that. Let's close out this conversation with some buzz in the NBA. Brooklyn plays Phoenix, I believe, tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken. So that'll be the marquee matchup there. Davis, right now, as it stands, very few teams are in the position that Phoenix is in with 40 wins and 9 losses. This does not happen very often, and they're basically winning every single day. So, look, they're going to smash their win total on the season. We know that's going to happen. They need to basically go, I think they could only lose 3 more games to get to 70 wins on the season, which is a huge accomplishment for any NBA team. Their pace does not tell us that they're going to hit 70, but regardless of that, there's been no better team with a regular season that has played this out, maybe since the Warriors, I'm guessing. So how close can Phoenix get to 70 wins?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is because they're so far ahead of the Warriors, of the Grizzlies, of the Utah Jazz. I mean, the Jazz have 30 wins. The Warriors have 37. The Grizzlies have 35. Basically, they are 4.5 games ahead of everybody. And then if you subtract the Grizzlies, or if you subtract the Warriors, they are 8.5 games ahead of everybody. I mean, that is absurd. So in this day and age of resting guys, making sure guys are ready for the playoffs, you know, all that stuff, I don't think they will get to 70. What's interesting is they have done this with lots of guys missing with injuries. Ayton has been in and out. Jay Crowder has been in and out. Frank Kaminsky is out indefinitely because his knee is messed up. Cameron Payne has a wrist injury. Dario Saric has a torn ACL. So they have moves they can make because they have salary that is counting against their cap, that's not contributing to their roster. So I am very curious to see what the Suns do at the trade deadline, because I feel like they will definitely add at least one piece, if not more.
Yeah, and that trade deadline less than a month away, if I'm not mistaken, in the NBA. So plenty more on the NBA, of course, as we go throughout the week. Tomorrow we'll preview a FanDuel lineup right here on the show for Tuesday night in the NBA, including that big matchup between Brooklyn and Phoenix. All right, we will take a quick timeout. Coming up next, it's time for Fantasy or Reality. The Super Bowl is a week from Sunday. Will everyone be watching like they normally do? Not the sexiest matchup on paper. Let's be honest, no superstars, as Davis mentioned, in this game. That will be our first question and a whole lot more, including the Sports Grid 60. We'll be back with more Fantasy or Reality next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. Davis Maddock and Craig Mish with you, about to bring you Fantasy Reality. But before we do Fantasy Reality, of course, we need to remind everyone to follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on social media. You're going to get all of the injury news, notes, highlights, analysis, Pharrell Coast to Coast, Fantasy Sports Today, Kevin Walsh, Ben Stevens, Craig Mish, everyone on the network. You're going to get all the highlights there. We've also been doing some giveaways and cool contests, things like that. So Craig, you're going to want to be paying attention to at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV.
I am following both, as well as our questions today, as we get ready for a little fantasy or reality. All right, let's get started here, Davis, as our first question of the day surrounds the upcoming Super Bowl next week. No Tom Brady, no Aaron Rodgers, no Patrick Mahomes. Is it a problem? I don't know. Now, last year, Davis, just to be clear, the Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl was the least watched Super Bowl in a decade. There was a lot of talk that it was pandemic related, of course, not full fans in the stands. It still was Tom Brady. And I believe it was about 94 million people watched the Super Bowl. When we do that prop over wherever they're going to have it, it's usually the barometer is 100 million, usually over or under. So we're going to ask this first question to begin. Fantasy or reality? With the Bengals playing the Rams in the Super Bowl, less people will watch this year's Super Bowl than last year, which would make it the least watched Super Bowl in 11 years. Is that fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I did not remember that at all, that last year's Super Bowl was not a highly rated one. I would have guessed the exact opposite, thinking about what life was like last February, where, you know, we had just started getting vaccine. You know, we just started getting vaccines, like some people had just gotten their first dose. You know, concerts were not happening. I remember my, you know, I had not started going back to the gym yet because my gym was requiring masks, which is like, you know, whatever, mask mandates are, you know, whatever, but I don't want to go run on a treadmill with a mask. Like I'll throw up. I won't be able to breathe. So I would have assumed the opposite. I would have assumed last year's Super Bowl, everyone would have been watching. Because what else are you going to be doing, right? You know, small get-togethers, like at people's houses. That was kind of what people were doing back then. So I'm going to say fantasy on this. I'm going to say people are way more comfortable getting out and about right now. You know, obviously there's not going to be any restrictions, at least as far as I know, on travel, on, you know, getting into, like, I think the Super Bowl is a big deal. And as we were talking about earlier, I think people are really into Joe Burrow. That'll be one of the hooks. And then, you know, we'll have some nostalgia. And then you have the Rams thing of like, well, you know, Browns fans, you know, wanting to watch Odell, Broncos fans wanting to watch Von Miller, Lions fans wanting to watch Stafford. Like, I feel like this is a good marketable Super Bowl.
Now, also to be clear on this one, I probably should have said that obviously this does not include the streaming numbers. And the streaming numbers last year were great, right?
Yeah.
So people were watching on their phones or on their iPads. I mean, this is just simply TV. And I think the streaming numbers will be equal to what they were last year. But as we begin, I'm going to completely disagree. I think this is a reality. I think that not everybody is like you and I, Davis. And I don't think that that the Cincinnati market is going to drive the numbers. You know, the Los Angeles market, while it is a top sports market, their sports are kind of like the ones here in Miami. They could give it, they could take it or leave it. They don't care. I mean, you see this with the Chargers at home games and the Rams home games. They don't care. I mean, there's just other things to do in Los Angeles. So I'm going to say reality. I think this is going to be the least watched Super Bowl maybe of all time. And I'm going to watch it. I think it's great. I think that most people will watch it who are sports fans. But this does not have enough to make people turn on the TV that don't care about football. They're going to lose a lot of people that way. I love the halftime show too, having Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg. Clearly, there are going to be a group of people who do not want to see that as well. I think it's fantastic. This is probably going to be my favorite halftime show of all time. But I say reality. Least watched Super Bowl ever. I'm going to predict that. Under 90 million, I'll say, this year. Okay. Another story percolated over the weekend. Is he retired? Is he not retired? We're talking, of course, about Tom Brady, quarterback of the Buccaneers, former quarterback of the New England Patriots, headed right to the Super Bowl with right to the Hall of Fame, 7 Super Bowl championships, 5 MVPs. Over the weekend, it was reported that he was retiring. Brady's attorney, Brady's father, says, hold the phone, not so fast. Most people feel that this is actually happening, Davis, that he is going to retire, but he wants to do it his way. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I'm leaving, you know, a small percentage open for Brady to come back here. It is Brady. He is above all else in sports. Why not, you know, throw a last-minute Hail Mary and decide to come back for one more season with the Buccaneers? So let's just assume that the reports are correct, because the guys who are reporting this do a fantastic job. We know that. They're probably accurate. Fantasy or reality, Tom Brady retiring is a bigger story than the Super Bowl next week.
Probably, yeah. You know what? My partner asked me if Brady had retired. She doesn't know who won the NFC game. She doesn't know who won Rams 49ers, but she said she heard something about Brady not playing football anymore, which is like that's sort of what people call this, like the mom test, right? Which is like, you know, if your mom knows someone, that means they're like a really, really big superstar. Like but in my life, because my partner does not care about sports at all, really, so I would call it like my girlfriend test. Like, if she knows about something, that means it's like a huge story. And like I said, she had no idea who won the NFC game. Couldn't have cared less. Couldn't pick Matthew Stafford out of lineup. I did show her. Have I brought this up on the show before? But Joe Burrow in his street clothes looks exactly like me. We look like incredibly alike. Yeah. There's this photo of him from when he was at college, where he could be like my twin brother or something. So she knows who Joe Burrow is, but she doesn't know who Matthew Stafford is. She doesn't know who Odell is. So I'm actually going to say this is a reality, that this Brady retirement story is actually a bigger deal.
Yeah, no, I agree. My wife, same thing. Said, you know, is this true? Is this really happening? Because she knows I do reporting. So she's like, is there any chance that this is not real or accurate? I'm like, I don't know. It feels accurate. The guys who are reporting it are. And her response was, good, it's enough already. I'm like, okay, all right, I guess you feel that way. You know, my son is just sort of getting into football. So, you know, he could take it or leave it, I think, at this point. Debo was his guy. You know, he was more excited to see Debo because he heard me talking about him before the fantasy season started. But I agree with you. Reality, no question. And my guess is, if you had to pin it down here, Davis, we're not going to hear a word for a week, right, about this. Because Brady's not going to want to upstage the Super Bowl. And then there's going to be a commercial with Tom Brady retiring on the Super Bowl, right? Like, this is a done deal. Like, it's exactly what's going to happen on Super Bowl night. Halftime, they're going to come out of halftime. The first commercial is going to be Brady retiring, thanking everybody. At least that's the way that I see it.
Or he's going to be selling an NFT. He's going to be selling, like, a Brady retirement NFT. Yeah. No, that's yeah. Well, and also there was, I wish I could give credit for this, but someone reported, I want to say Tom Pelissero, don't know if it was for sure, reported that there's like a bonus language written in a Brady's contract that if he's still on the roster on February 4th, he's like due more money. So I think that was maybe why we immediately heard the reputation from Brady's camp when Schefter reported that he was retiring.
Yeah, I would love to see him come back, not to stick it to the reporters, because I've been there before and been wrong, and that stinks. If we could get that retirement tour, I think it would make for great TV. They say he doesn't want to do it now. I don't know. I thought that he did want to do it. Didn't he do a Super Bowl commercial a couple of years ago, right, out of New England, which made us think that he was coming back? I don't know. Okay, let's close it out with something different than sports. Let's close it out with the SAT test. In all likelihood, you have taken this in your past. Some people have taken it several times. I know I took it at least twice. I'm trying to think if I took it more than twice. I definitely took it twice. So the SAT test basically determines very little about you except for a score that puts you into your future college. They are now changing the SAT test. I used to make fun that the only time that I would wake up very early back in the day was to take the SATs. And it's going digital, Davis, for the first time in 2022. Fantasy or reality, Davis, you waking up very early in the morning, going to some auditorium. I think that's probably how you did it. You probably have a better recollection of this than me. You wouldn't have scored higher on the SATs if it was digital. So I guess the question is, if you're willing to share what you scored on the SAT and then whether or not you would have scored higher if you were able to do it digitally.
So, Craig, I really hate to do this to you. People of my generation, we don't take the SAT, we take the ACT. Colleges now prefer the ACT to the SAT. Oh. Although I think it's pretty easy to compare. I think like so the ACT goes to 36, if I remember correctly. I think the SAT goes to 1600. So it's right. Like it's kind of just like you divide it by two, right? So if you got a 1500 on the SAT, that's like getting a 34 on the ACT. So I took the ACT one time. I was 15 years old. I got a 28. And I never took it again because I was like, that's good enough for me. I got a perfect score on the reading and the English. Craig, I got a 14 on the math. I got a 14 on the math. And I said, you know what? 14 on the math, good enough for me. Don't need to study. Don't need to improve it. 28 will be more than enough to get into whatever state college here in the Midwest that I want to. And I was right. 28 was good enough.
Yeah, so... I didn't know that, so thank you for sharing. Good job by you. This would be a reality for me. I would have scored higher if it was, because I couldn't have scored any worse. I was terrible at this test. The first
time
I took
it. Some people are just not good test takers.
Oh, I was terrible. I think I got like 900. I remember my parents being furious at me taking it the first time. You're never getting in anywhere with that score. You got to get better. I definitely went to like a class or something, like a tutor to get better. Yep. And then I scored over 1,000, but I don't think it was a lot more than that. And that put me into the summer at the University of Florida with like the summer of probation, you know, essentially like you had to take two summer classes. And if you did well, then you got to stay at Florida. And I did well enough. I think I got 2 B's. I made it through the summer and then I did 4 years plus at the University of Florida. So I'm going to say reality because I couldn't have done any worse. I was just awful. And I mean, I don't know about all tests, probably all tests, but I was definitely awful at this test. Everybody I know did better than me at the on the SAT. So
see, I wasn't even a good student. I was actually a bad student. I did not try very hard. I did not really like to do my homework in high school or college, but I was a good test taker because tests are really just logic problems. And I was really good at figuring out the answers, even if I didn't understand the information in a way that the test was actually wanting me to.
I just picked C when I didn't know the answer. I would just pick the bubble for C. I was told that was the way to do it. As you could tell, not very good outcome here. Hence, I'm sitting here talking sports with you. It worked out. All right, Sports Grid 60 is coming up next. So stay on the grid as we wrap up this Monday edition of the show. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. A reminder, we'll be right back here every day, right up until the Super Bowl tomorrow show. We take a look at Jimmy Garoppolo, where he could potentially end up, hear from some of the potential NFL head coaches, myself tomorrow and George Kurtz on the show. So let's get Davis on with a couple of days off, or actually one day off, starting right now as he delivers his Sports Grid 60.
Well, Craig, I've suffered a lot in this postseason as a combination Dallas Cowboys, Kansas City Chiefs fan. Some very uncomfortable losses along the way, but I just want to say, really, it's more of a philosophical question. What is a worse playoff loss to have? One where the team you're rooting for clearly blows it, right? The Kansas City Chiefs against the Bengals, they clearly blow it. I mean, they had that game. They had like a 98%. Win probability if they would have just kicked that field goal at the end of the half instead of the pass of Tyreek Hill that led to no points? Or is it worse the way the Bills lost, where the team did everything they could? You can't fault any player on the Buffalo Bills, but the other team just ascended to a higher level that you couldn't get to.
Dallas is worse than both of those.
Well, yes.
That's the one
correct.
I thought that was the direction that you were going to go with the Cowboys or Chiefs. I thought the Cowboys loss was terrible amongst all of them. Okay, so the story of the Super Bowl is Eric Weddle. I mean, come on. This is a crazy story. This guy has been retired The Rams called him on a Tuesday a couple of weeks ago and said, can you get in 15 plays? He was on the field for 100% of the defensive snaps for the Rams and had the most tackles in the game. I mean, I guess it's being talked about a lot. It needs to be talked about some more. This is the story for me of the Super Bowl. Thanks to everybody watching today. Thanks to our friends over at LTN for Danny on our graphics. And of course, for Brett Levy, our producer. For Davis Maddock, my co-host, I'm Craig Nish. Have a great Monday, everybody. See you tomorrow.